Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter. And today I am speaking with Brian Lewis. He is the CEO of Intellicheck. The stock symbol in New York Stock Exchange is IDN. Brian, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Jack.
So, Brian, can you tell us about, what Intellicheck does and, what are some of the problems you solve for your customers?
Sure. The number one thing that we do is we authenticate with near certainty that a government-issued ID or license is authentic, which is really important for a number of different use cases. We started off doing it for the military. They thought the best thing to decide if somebody coming onto a secure facility was who they said they were was, is that plastic real? Is that government ID real? And we've since taken that into age-restricted products, so making sure that cannabis and tobacco and alcohol are sold to the right people. Law enforcement, over 50 law enforcement agencies use us to authenticate IDs. But our biggest market is really dealing with identity theft for banks and credit issuers to make sure that when they're issuing credit, it's not to somebody who has stolen your identity.
So, what exactly do you provide? Like, what are your products and services? Do you sell a device? Is it a cert? Like, what do you offer?
Sure, so that we can handle all different size smart markets. We do everything from deliver it over a smartphone to our major retail clients. We're going to be incorporated right into the point of sale system. So, for example, when issuing instant credit, every time you go into a store and you're checking out, the first thing they want to do is say, "Would you like to apply for credit and save, 10% today on your purchase, especially if it's a large purchase?" And that's something I believe that the criminals rely upon. What we do at that point, the exact same system that they use to ring up your purchase, so that scanning gun, they scan the back of your driver's license. What we will do is authenticate that license. Real license, we then pre-populate the application. So we're speeding it up. We're helping them onboard better clients faster. From the time of authentication to credit being given is generally 30 seconds. Now, if it's a fake ID, we're going to let them know in 3 seconds, and they know not to issue credit to that person or look into it a heck of a lot better than they are. We see how often this happens, that we find a fraudulent ID out there, and we stop a fraudulent transaction on average every 90 seconds.
So how does it actually work? You have, I guess, either it's you're selling the hardware and then it goes into you have a database. What happens once it's scanned? Where does this information go, and what kind of information do you give
Sure.
the person, holding the scanner?
Right. We are a pure software as a service play. We're not into the hardware business, so we're a software company. And our software, once that we help the retailer understand how to configure their scanners to properly read that barcode and send it to the format that we need to be able to analyze it. We analyze it, and that's basically our secret sauce. There are over 250 valid formats of government IDs, state IDs, and state driver's license that are actually authentic today. We know all 250 formats. We can tell them again with near certainty. We say 99%. Our clients tell us we're much better than that, that the license is in fact real. And then we will send back to them the information that they would need to populate the application. So name, address, that type of stuff to speed that part of it up. After that, we wipe everything out of our system. We do not retain any personally identifiable information. We don't want to be in that space. We're purely to help our banking partners and retail partners know that the person that they're dealing with are actually who they say they are.
Okay, so there's no hardware. You're basically just it's just the software side that you're offering.
Right, and that's one of the things that makes us so attractive to the retailers and the banks. There is no hardware purchase required for them to protect themselves from this fraud. It's the exact same point of sale system that they're using to ring up the purchases is the system that they use to speed up credit applications and weed out this fraud.
Okay. And so what's the business model? How do you generate revenues?
For the large banking clients, we are on a pay-per-scan model. So they will, there's a minimum that we're going to charge them per month so that we make sure that we're covering the hardware and the maintenance and everything that we need from our end, you know, the servers that we use to run our technology. And then it's pure scan. Every time they scan, the cash register rings. So we did just over 22 million scans last year for our retail clients. We are, you know, right now, to give you numbers, we're relied upon by 6 major banks and credit issuers. We're in over 12,000 retail locations today. I think one of the most we do differently, which has brought us so many new clients. I joined the company at the end of February in 2018 and immediately changed how we went about selling and who we were selling to, changed up our sales force, and that has brought us, you know, major new clients that we didn't have in the past. We signed a couple of new banks. We're very large credit card issuers. We had one of the largest private label credit card issuers was one of our clients, but hadn't done any new business with us in years. Between the two new clients that we signed aboard and re-energizing the relationship we had with that one client, we're in the process right now of onboarding 16 new retailers that, you know, hadn't had as clients before and really weren't inklings to us. But the changes in how we sell has brought us these new clients, and more prospects are coming into us every day. The banks love what we do because we're saving them a lot of fraud. And the retailers like it because crooks are being kept out of their stores. And the other thing they know is they're doing right by the consumer. You can't come in and use a stolen identity in their stores. They're going to do everything in their power to make sure that that doesn't happen. So it's really a win-win for everybody.
So I'm trying to understand. So who's the actual customer for you? Is it the retailer or is it the card issuer, like, or both? Who do you have to sell to?
Yeah, it's a combination to it. The banks who are issuing the credit cards and the retailers, they all negotiate their deals on who's going to eat this fraud. And usually there's some split between the two of them. So the split is they decided on their end. In some cases, the retailer pays us, and then I know the bank is splitting the cost and reimburses them. In other cases, and the major banks tend to like this model where they pay us, and then they work something out with their retailers. And we like that as well because the pricing model that we've set up for the banks, it entices them to have more scans because the scans come in tranches. You know, so your first million scans per month might be X, and the next is Y, and the next is Z. So their marginal cost of reducing fraud goes down the more retailers they bring on the system. So it's good for them, and it's good for us.
Okay. So you said you did 22 million scans last month. This is at retailers.
Last year.
Still, it sounds like a, you know, relatively small number compared to, you know, there's a, you know, huge, probably a huge amount of transactions. So what percentage of the market have you penetrated so far? Or how big is the market opportunity is kind of where I'm going.
We are just scratching the surface of the market. Yeah, we're just scratching the market. One of the things we talked about on our last earnings call was looking at a bank and how many, you know, what could a bank be worth to us? And we went through and did an analysis of just one of our clients, one of the bank clients, who has, you know, 160, 170 different retail credit card programs that they run. And we took a very conservative view of it and said, let's look at the ones that we think would benefit from our services. So right away we said, you know, gas station cards, not enough. You're not going to make enough money to go and do identity theft there. Or they issue credit cards for dentists. No, you're not going to come back. They're going to figure out it's not you by the time you get your dental work done. So we really whittled it down and said that there were probably about 55 of their clients who could make use of this. And when we sized them up, because it was public information, we knew who all their clients were, and put them into small, medium, large buckets, and said if a small retailer is worth maybe a couple $100,000 and a medium size $500, and let's be really conservative and say a very large one is worth maybe $800,000-$900,000, that still worked out to be, you know, a total addressable market for that one bank of around $20-$22 million. So we're really just scratching the surface with the clients that we have currently signed up. And obviously, you know, my sales force is in discussions with almost every other major bank or credit issuer out there. And in addition now, the banks are also saying, well, wait a minute, we got to protect our branches, our retail banking. So we're beginning to roll out this product for their retail branches so that they know that based on whatever transaction you're looking to do, that, again, you are who you say you are when you come into that bank.
Okay. So what do you think is the size of the market opportunity? Let's say, you know, if you get, 10% of the market, what would that mean in terms of revenues?
Well, there are about 10 banks that control the majority of the private label credit cards out there. So if you think that each one of the banks is worth, you know, just put a small number, you know, the lower end of the number on it, to be really conservative, was worth $20 million, you know, that's, you know, $200 million business right there. And that's purely for the credit card end of it. For their private label cards. It doesn't include their own brand name credit cards. We just signed up last quarter one of the very large issuers of their own name credit card. So now if you want to call up and apply for a credit card online, the last stage of that process is they send you a text. That text then instructs you how to scan the back of your license. It comes to us. We remotely authenticate it and tell the bank that it's real. So we're working in a number of different areas. And then the other thing is, if you look about all the age-restricted products, if I believe that eventually the law will catch up with technology and our legislators will realize that you can raise the vaping age to any age you want, but until you make sure that the retailer selling vaping products or alcohol is authenticating the license, it doesn't matter. The kids are still going to get hold of it. There's a very large market that we're selling into. If you think about the number of different places that sell alcohol, tobacco, or cannabis, perfect targets for us. So we're doing a lot of that through direct mailing and SEO. So that's another huge market. Right now, we're very focused on owning this financial services space because we are best at what we do. And once you're in, we don't see any reason for anybody to ever remove us. As I said, we are 99% effective or greater. Once we're in, if somebody came in and said, hey, I can improve your accuracy rate by 0.2%, no bank is going to put themselves through that or their retailers through it unless it costs, you know, an eighth of what we charge. And if that's the case, that company couldn't be making money. So I believe focusing on, in a way, this land grab of financial services and owning that is the best thing that we can do to get to very high growth.
Okay. So bottom line, like what would that be worth in revenues? Let's say if you get 10% of that financial market, not including the retailers and all that. Yeah.
Oh, 10% of that, you know, I've got, like I said, I have 6 banks right now. And credit issuers that, you know, the back of the envelope math says they're each between $10 and $20 million if we got all the retailers on it. Obviously can't guarantee any of that, but that's the goal. Our clients tell us that their goal is to get their retailers on the system because it is good for all of them. The amount of fraud You know, identity theft last year hit 14.4 million Americans. That's adult Americans. They don't have the numbers yet out on children, but in 2017, over a million children got their identities stolen. For the adults alone, the loss was $14.7 billion. The FTC says that the average person has just over $10,000 racked up in their name in false charges, and it takes that person 6 months and 200 hours to clear their name. This is a major pain point that we're solving for, and the banks and the retailers realize it. They know that one of the things, crazy as it is, studies have been done from the American Institute of CPAs, and 69% of consumers blame the retailer when their identity is stolen. They don't blame the crook, they blame the retailer, and they change their spending habits based on that. So there are multiple losses, some of them long-term here, when an identity gets stolen. So our clients are saying this makes sense for us to put in. And there's a good reason for it because there is economic benefit.
So how long is the sales cycle? Like, and what's the sales pipeline like right now?
Yeah. Look, I can say that it varies, but one thing for sure, we've sped it up with the changes that we have made to how we sell. And I will say that, a good example is that the credit card issuer that I was talking about, where we're doing their own cards. We started talking to them. 30 to 45 days later, we had economics agreed to, and they started a pilot. It was a 60-day pilot. The pilot went so well, they rolled it out. All 1,500 of the people in their call center now use our product. And that bank has now introduced us to several of their largest retailers for us to hopefully begin the onboarding process. And we're also now in talks with them about how we roll out to their bank branches. So that's an example of, I think, how we have fine-tuned our pitch and who we're selling to speed it up. The other really cool thing is I was on an initial sales call with one of my salespeople for a furniture store, and that furniture store has a no or low credit issuer that they deal with for those that can't get credit cards. That credit issuer took them out to lunch, and they were talking about their problem with fraud, and that credit issuer said, if you're not talking to IntelliCheck, you really need to. Luckily, the next day, my salesperson cold called that guy, the CFO of the furniture company, and he's like, I have to talk to you. So we're getting word of mouth out there through our existing clients. They're talking to not only their clients, but their competitors about why you need to talk to IntelliCheck, because they understand that they need to fight this fraud as a unified front.
Okay. Now, it's interesting. I noticed in the last year or so, personally, I've had a couple of transactions. I think it was maybe I did an Airbnb booking, I think, and it was mm-hmm. done through an app. They asked me to take a picture of my ID, send it to them, the text. So, and I think there's more of that happening now. So your system essentially would allow somebody like that to, verify that it's actually me who's going to show up or is making the booking.
Yeah, and what I'd say is you need to be very careful about that, because the massive difference between scanning and authentication, and so many of those apps are looking at the front of the license and they think that they can tell if everything's in the right spot. I can tell you that the plastic is so good that these criminals have in their hands that you can't tell with the naked eye, and you can't tell really by a computer program. I think a great quote from Chief Rusty Hanna, Mississippi's head of their ABC. He said they become so good that you can't look at them with the human eye and say if they're fake or not. And we have law enforcement. People who are trained to know if this a real license or not, they can't do it anymore. The only way you can truly authenticate it is through the back of the license. And again, I'm going to say that you need to make sure that you're authentic. authenticating. And for example, the FDA, I love what they're trying to do to keep vaping products out of the hands of youth, but their Center for Tobacco Control released an app. It's supposedly going to tell you what the age is on that driver's license to make sure you can sell to it. I put 250 fakes through that application. All of them passed. So you need to make sure that it's authentication. And the way to protect ourselves as consumers against identity theft and to keep age-controlled products out of the hands of children is to make sure that we are authenticating, not scanning. And so many people make the mistake of thinking the two are one and the same.
Okay, so Brian, what what's the competitive landscape like? Are there alternatives to what you do? Are there other players in the space? Like, how do you, and if so, how would you differentiate yourself?
Yeah, I'd say that there's a lot of them. They're coming out of the woodwork that say that they can do what we do. I will say that every single one of our clients, before they become a client and decide who they're going to pilot with, put you through what I would call a scan off. They've got their 50 fakes or so, and they then check who caught what. We've never lost a scan off. We've been doing this for so long. We know exactly what we're doing. We know the formats. I think one of our other competitive advantages is the fact that over 55 law enforcement agencies use our product. They give us fakes all the time. If they find something that we didn't catch, but they're wondering about it, and then they call in and check it through the DMV system, they'll let us know about it and usually give it to us so that we can then authenticate what we got wrong so that we can fix it. This is an arms race. The bad guys out there are good, and sometimes they'll make something slightly better. So then my data scientists, they analyze it, and we put a patch in the system. At least 9 times a year, we're probably updating our jurisdictional tables to make sure that we're up to date with what the latest crook has figured out. But I look at that as long-term insurance for why we're needed. It is an arms race, and we specialize in what we do, and we're really good at it.
So what's what's the current run rate like?
In terms of what we're earning,
Top line.
Top line. We're not profitable yet. We're not giving guidance on it. Our revenues. You can just go online and look at our earnings calls and the reports. And people can make their own assumptions. The one thing that we are saying is that we do not anticipate at all going out to market to raise money for capital expenditures or operations. It's, we think we're on the right path at this point in time.
Okay, so that sounds like you expect to become cash flow positive, relatively soon.
Stay away from making any prediction on cash flow positive. I'll let people make their own assumptions. They can look at our burn rate. I think, it would definitely be prudent not to run cash to zero. But at this point in time, we're saying that, and we've consistently said that, we don't see raising cash for working capital.
Okay. So I guess anybody listening to this can read between the lines, meaning relatively soon. Brian, what do you feel comfortable making some maybe revenue projections, let's say 2-3 years out, assuming everything goes right, like what kind of numbers you could be generating?
I like to stay away from that, especially at this point in time. I like to make sure that we are giving out the right type of information. We've done a lot to talk to people about the increase in the number of scans that we're doing, the clients that we're bringing on board, the buckets of what clients are worth and how we then can see revenue coming in. Certainly our scans have been increasing year over year, quarter over quarter. I would say that the really good things to look at are what our SaaS growth has been, which also is growing year over year and quarter over quarter. The really good thing is to focus on the fact that our margins, you know, we've said all along, we figured they would stable our gross margins at around 85%. That appears to be the case. When we bring clients on board, you know, it's immediate revenue to us. So, you know, what I'd say is all lights are green. We've been telling everybody a story of, you know, we're going to sign this bank. We signed the bank. We expect to bring clients on board on these dates. We've made all of those dates. What I'm trying to do is make sure that I convey the message that we're not going to go out and overpromise and underdeliver. We are being prudent in information that we give out. I would just say, you know, continue to watch our growth as we report earnings, and you know, I think you'll see that. You know, I would prefer, much more prefer to be an under-promise and over-deliver than the other way around.
Okay. So far you have not promised anything, so you're in a good position.
Yeah, other than I would change things around by changing the sales force. And again, you know, if you look at it, we hadn't signed a major new client in years before I got here. And, you know, now I can say that we've signed multiple new banks and have 16 brand new retailers in various stages of implementation. Look at those numbers.
I'm sorry, I interrupted, but what was the company doing before, and like what have you done differently since you came on board? Was it last year, I believe? Was it last February?
A year ago, February. I think the number one thing that we did is we weren't selling with the numbers. We weren't selling with the fact that we know how often we stop a fraudulent transaction. We see it. We also then went out and talked to our clients and said, how much money do you lose? You know, what's the average hit each time you get hit by giving out credit to somebody you shouldn't have? And our department store clients told us that was around $2,100, and it went as high as, on average, $3,500 for our jewelry store clients. And for some of them who specialize in Rolex, you know, you're talking $10,000 to $15,000 each time it happened. So it helped us get a better idea of what we were doing and saving people. So certainly the first thing I did was change how we were pricing it and raise prices, because we were giving things away when we shouldn't have. I like to, you know, partake of some of the value I'm bringing somebody. Changed out the sales force to be a different sales force. They were very good salespeople, just brought in from more of a product sale. They were not people who were selling software as we are. Enterprise software salespeople, brought those types of folks in, freed up some of my other good salespeople who were very good, gave them more territory to prospect and bring in some of these whales. And those types of things, and then understanding who we're going to sell to, what's the pain point. And when the banks are the biggest, you know, people hit by this pain, let's focus on them. They're the ones that really hurt. They're the ones who are really going to want to pay for it. So that's really what we've done. And when you sign a bank who has six or seven massive clients, massive retailers who are in spaces like hardware stores and electronic stores, where somebody can walk in and in, you know, a few minutes purchase multiple thousands of dollars worth of products that are easily sold, they're the guys who are getting hit with the most fraud. So focusing on that, and you bring those clients in who do millions and millions and millions of scans, that's what we've changed, which is why I think you're seeing things on the uptick here.
Okay. Brian, so can you tell us more about your background and, you know, some of the other key players on the team?
Yeah, so my background is basically for the past number of years, I've been brought into companies that either needed a turnaround or figured out how to accelerate their growth. So just prior to this, I was a COO of a primary research firm. When I joined, they were doing about $13 million in revenue and losing money. And 4 years later, when we exited selling the company to a French PE firm, very profitable and doing $90 million in revenue. So I look for things that I think are a great product, great team, need to figure out how to either better monetize what they're doing or figure out how to operationally get better at what we're doing. The rest of the team, you know, I look at Bill White is the CFO. He's been here for a number of years, I believe about 5 years now. One thing I'll say, even through some previous capital raises, we've got one clean cap table, and I really think that's great. Paul Fisher is my head of sales. Very determined, organized, excellent salesperson. Our CTO, Russ Embry, has been here almost from the beginning and I think knows more about how to analyze a barcode than anybody on the planet. And then my VP of engineering, Frank Lubin, runs an exceptionally tight ship, has done wonders here in terms of helping us get along or get up to speed or get better at some of the security that we needed. As you can imagine, when the banks come in and they're going to commit their, you know, their entire security checking and authentication to us, they put us through some really, really good security audits. And Frank has set up a team here that comes, you know, we come through with flying colors. So all in all, I think it's an exceptionally good team.
So, Brian, assuming everything, you know, goes right, what's your vision for IntelliCheck, you know, let's say 2-3 years out? Like, you know, what will the company look like? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess you didn't want to talk about revenues, but maybe you can kind of give us a picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the picture is I believe that the world is going more and more mobile. You know, I look at my children and they do everything on their telephone but talk. They run their lives through their phone. And I believe that you're going to need to authenticate people from afar. So we've got partnerships with firms that do things like facial recognition with liveness detection. So I think to find out is if you are who you say you are from a distance, you need to, step one, authenticate the back of the license. Is that barcode, in fact, valid? Step two, make sure that what's encoded on the back of the license is actually what's printed on the front. You know, so take a picture of the front and then OCR, an optical character recognition, make sure it matches what's encoded. And then when we took that picture, we also have your picture on your license. Let's now compare that to your face through facial recognition to make sure it matches and that, in fact, it's live. So those are the types of things that I think make sense for us to get into and possibly, you know, acquisitions, other things of some of that technology so that, you know, we own it and are much more complete offering. Right now, I think we have some great partnerships that are working well. We're bringing leads to some of those partners. They're bringing leads to us. I think the best part about that is the first step in the whole process, which weeds out 99% of the fraud, is the license real? So step one, we're the leader in that. Those are the types of areas where I think I'm looking at completely right now is how is the authentication from afar through mobile technology with the smallest footprint on the phone. And that's where we're focusing our development.
Now you mentioned, you know, the sales pipeline earlier. Now, mm-hmm. What are the, you know, some of the key milestones, you know, over the next 12 months that, you know, investors can look forward to? Like, what kind of news flow can investors mm-hmm. expect to see?
Yeah, so signing a bank is fantastic. It's bringing on their retailers that matter. So, you know, the information that we're going to continue to give out is the growth in our scan rates, you know, the number of scans that we're doing per month. The other thing is as we are bringing on more and more of the retailers. So we're giving some pretty good detailed reports on the retailers, the amount of retailers once we go into full deployment. So in the last earnings call, I mentioned that we were bringing, I believe it was 2,900 retailers had already begun deployment, and we were about to begin deployment with one retailer that had 1,300 stores. So those are the metrics that we're going to talk about. I'd say, suggest probably a good thing is to read the last earnings call, because I went into detail on the seasonality of onboarding retailers. They usually will completely stop their onboarding as they go into the fourth quarter. So come mid-October-ish, they don't want to touch anything on their internal systems as they're going into the season of the year where they make most of their money. The last thing they'd ever want is to make a mistake in programming and bring their point-of-sale system down for a day. So there's going to be, you know, some cyclicality about rollouts, but then they pick it right up again in January. So everybody has a race to get their retailer, you know, all their stores live before the biggest holiday season, which is also the biggest fraud season. We always see an uptick in fraud attempts in Q4. So it's the numbers that really matter. Have we brought on, do we have new retailers in various stages of deployment? We're announcing that we are rolling out retailers and the number of stores, and what's going on with our scan volumes. And as always, if we sign a new issuer of credit, we will, you know, announce that as well.
Okay, Brian, my last question here is, in your opinion, what would you say are the top three reasons why investors should consider the stock today?
I'd say that sort of that's a simple question for me, because right now we're relied upon by six banks and major credit issuers. Right? We're a proven technology in over 12,000 retail locations. As I said, we're in various stages of onboarding with 16 new retailers. We're in a unique position that law enforcement uses our product. I can't think of a bigger endorsement of the efficacy of what we do than that. And it's because we know we're stopping a fraudulent transaction every 90 seconds. I mean, that, I think, makes us the leader. You know, I believe that makes us the leader in what we do, and why the onboarding and the sales process has sped up. We've got the data to back what we do. We've got the client base that is a reference client base. Our credit issuers will get on the phone with their competitors and say, this is why you need to use IntelliCheck. That's a great position to be in.
Brian, on that note, I want to thank you, and we look forward to hearing more from IntelliCheck, I keep mispronouncing it, in the months ahead.
Yeah. Thanks very much for having me, Jack. I appreciate it.